Now, the children of Israel, this is the one time they really lost, and it got them involved in a very difficult situation. Chapter 10, this is the long day of Joshua. I'm reading verse 1. Now it came to pass, when Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai, had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, Piram, king of Jarmuth, and Japhiah, king of Lachish, and unto Deber, king of Eglon, saying, Come up unto me and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, and so on, and they went to make war against Gibeon. And what did Gibeon do? Verse 6, the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, Slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. Now, verse 9, Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. A sudden attack, a surprise attack, and that's a good military tactic. Now he's using military tactics, but you see what's happening. Verse 12, Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that, before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Now the question has always been about the long day of Joshua. And it's been questioned a great deal, and all kinds of explanations have been offered concerning it. Let me mention some of the explanations that are given. I noticed that one Christian organization that works on college campuses, they avoid giving any interpretation of it. Then there's another interpretation, and that's that this is poetic language, and it's a poetic expression. It's not to be taken literal. It's non-literal. And they refer, of course, to the stars fought against Sisera that's mentioned in Judges 5:20. And when we get that, we'll find out the stars did fight. It's literal. Now, another explanation that's offered, that it's a miracle of refraction. The sun stood still, the moon stayed. It was a matter of refraction, a matter of a reflection, you see. And they use verse 13 here. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, hasted not to go down about a whole day. And then another explanation is that God stopped the entire solar system. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And that is the explanation I take, but we need to note something else. Actually, God blacked out the sun. You must remember that the American Standard Version here says that the sun became silent, which actually means that what this man Joshua wanted was not more sunshine. He wanted less sunshine. And the Berkeley translation has it, O sun, wait in Gibeon. And you'll notice that it was covered over with a great deal of, well, I was going to say smog, but covered over, and it didn't come through. Because, after all, the heat's 112 degrees in that land at this time of the year. And actually, Joshua did not want more sun. He wanted less sun. And I believe that the correct explanation is therefore that God actually stopped the solar system, but he also cut down the heat of the sun. That, I believe, is the explanation of it, the way that it really took place. Now, let's look in that for just a moment. With 105 to 120 in the shade, and there was no shade, Joshua didn't want more sunshine, and God covered the sun. Hailstones came down. It was not the rainy season. And if you look at the record upon Gibeon, that was directly over. And we believe that the explanation is that God actually did this, because this is the way that it happened. And God gave the victory to Joshua. Our book, Have You Crossed Over Jordan? If there are those of you who have not received it and would like to have it, would write in for it, we'd like to send it to you. And in that, we have a chapter on Ai and I, the flesh. We have that because we think that's a very important thing, because so many Christians think that they're living a spiritual life because they've overcome the world. That is, they don't participate in things in the world. Well, you can be the meanest saint in the world and not go to many of these things that are worldly, friends, because the flesh has overcome you. Actually, our greatest enemy is the flesh. Now, we have to restrict this book to those who support the program. And friends, it must be that way, because actually we wouldn't be on the air very long if the books were given away. But notes and outlines, they come to you. Now, we want to pass on from this long day of Joshua, and I think this is a remarkable incident, now corroborated in time and space, by the way, which makes it indeed interesting. And the question arises, as I've heard it put by a certain college professor. He says it's ridiculous that God would stop the entire universe for one man. Yes, may I say to you, friends, it is ridiculous that he'd do it. But the interesting thing is, he did it. And he sent his son into the world, and that's much more wonderful than stopping the sun. That, for God, just demonstrated his wisdom and his power. But to send his son into the world, now that's asking a great deal. Not only to come into this world among man, but to die upon a cross, and to die for you. And if you were the only person in this world, he'd have died for you. May I say to you, maybe the professor wants to say that's ridiculous, and it is, but we have another word for it, and that's, by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's the gift of God. Or, there's still another word, God so loved the world, and that's the basis of it all, that he gave his only begotten son. And man's response is faith, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish but have everlasting life. Now we're told in verse 15, and Joshua returned, and all Israel with him unto the camp to Gilgal. But these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makeda, and it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hid in a cave at Makeda. Joshua said, roll great stones from the mouth of the cave, and set men by it for to keep them. And stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies, and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand. Now let's remember that these are a people that were given 420 years to make up their mind of whether they'd turn to God or not. God had the report out that he was going to give it to the nation Israel, and he would have saved anyone that would have turned to him. And he told them that they had to stay out of the land for 420 years, for the iniquity of the Amorites was not yet full. And then when they crossed the Red Sea, we see another reason for God bringing them as he did across the Red Sea. Not only for the nation Israel's sake, to demonstrate his redemption through power, and as he had by blood in Egypt that last night when the angel passed over, when the blood was on the doorpost. Not only to impress Egypt and convince them that there was the living and true God amidst all the idols of Egypt, but also these people in the land, for that harlot Rahab said, "We've heard while God led you across the Red Sea." She believed. Now, if that woman believed, anybody could have believed God. And these are those that did not, and judgments coming upon them. Now, that message has never been changed. God loves the world. God loves you. But he gave his son that whosoever, and that means you, means me, that will believe on him. What about it? Well, they won't perish. Well, will you perish if you don't? Yes. That's what happened to these folk. They just didn't believe God. Now, that may not sound nice to you, and you'd like to have it otherwise, but this is the way it's written in the Word of God. And friends, it's certainly going to be bad if the Bible is accurate. And then I have news for you. It is accurate. Now will you notice, verse 24, when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, "Come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings." And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, "Fear not, nor be dismayed, be strong and of a good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fought." Now this was a very impressive array of kings, and they were enemies that 40 years before that had caused the spies to go back and say, "We just can't enter that land. We'd never be able to take it." Now, this is done by Joshua to strengthen the heart of these people. They were frightened folk. When you talk about the bravery of these people, wasn't any bravery at all. I remember hearing the whimsical story of World War I, when a certain hero of that war who had captured more German prisoners than any other, and he was being feted by some of the society folk in Nashville, Tennessee. One dear dowager there, she wanted to make conversation, and she was as talkative as she possibly could be, and she said to him, calling him by his name and giving his rank, and said to him, "What was your feeling when you brought all those soldiers in?" He says, "I was scared to death." May I say to you, that was the condition of these people. Now, God wants to encourage them, you see. Now, afterward, Joshua smote them, slew them, hanged them on 5 trees, and they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. Came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, they took them down off the trees and cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain until this very day. You see, they could have left them in that cave with the rocks there and starved them to death. It was much more humane to slay them as they did. And they didn't dare turn these kings loose. They had no prison they could put them in. And so this was the disposition that had to be made of the enemy in that day. Now, we are living in a day when we think we are more civilized. But when you think of the bombing, the war in Vietnam, and World War II, the Korean War, and you think of the different lawlessness that's taking place in our land, why, my friend, I don't think that you're in a position to criticize this incident here. They didn't have lawlessness, and they're settling their problems in a only way that you can settle them with a sinful, wicked race that if these kings had been turned loose, they would have led a rebellion against Joshua that would have caused literally thousands to die. Verse 27, that they hanged them, we're told, and they took them down off the tree. Why? Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. They didn't leave them there overnight. Why did they hang them up? They had apparently stoned them. Well, because when it was an awful crime, that's what they did in Israel. And that's the reason that the Lord Jesus, he was not stoned, as you know, he was crucified. They took him down. Why? Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He bore the curse for you and me. This is a tremendous chapter, by the way. And then we find that Joshua now in the south is moving all the way down to Hebron and Debir. And we read in verse 41, "And Joshua smote them from Kadesh, Barnea, even unto Gaza." And that is way down, as you know, way over on the coast. And this is in the south of the land. "And all the country of Goshen, even unto Gibeon. And all these kings and their land did Joshua take at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel." That is very important to see, that he is the one giving them the victory. They are getting possession. And today, the victory is Christ. I do not go for this expression, the victorious life. The victorious life is his life lived in us. We get blessed with all spiritual blessings. We get spiritual blessings, the possession. He gets the victory. If there's going to be a victory, by the way.